Okay, well, good afternoon. Thank you very much. I want to visit with you about a project I initiated about a year and a half ago. So bear in mind, it's a fairly young project to look at losses of ammonia from top-dress urea applications applied to cold soils. Just a little background to give you some context for this study. This is a picture of a common site in Montana during the month of September. Most of our winter wheat is seeded during the month of September in Montana, and often done then with an air seeder. And these air drills, or air seeders, excuse me, have become quite popular in the northern Great Plains, and they've created a tillage reduction revolution, which has helped change some of our production practices from intensively tilled to no-till situations. So what growers do is they will seed in September, and then they'll come in frequently later in the fall, maybe the winter, early spring, and top-dress their urea applications. Now, most of us are aware, and certainly growers are aware, that urea is susceptible to volatility when it's applied to the soil surface. So the question sometimes we could ask is, why is it being applied this way? And there's a few issues I wanted you to consider. First of all, we have large farms in the state of Montana, and it's frequently, it's quite common for one person to be seeding 1,500 to 2,000 acres or more, for one person to be seeding that. And there's a narrow time window for successful winter wheat seeding. And applying fertilizer at seeding operations slows things down. And a lot of these growers are getting a rush. They want to get things moving. So they just do, go ahead and fertilize or seed and then fertilize later. And so even though a lot of these air seeders then, you know, they have capacity to double shoot both seed and fertilizer, a lot of them refrain from the fertilizer, wait till later in the fall or winter or early spring to apply that nitrogen and typically as urea. There's also the issue of cold weather protection, and there's been a lot of belief that urea volatility is minimal under cold weather protection, cold weather situations. So what we wanted to do in this study was to ask the question, well, are we losing nitrogen from these broadcast applications of urea made during this time window from the fall, early spring in our semi-arid region? I sometimes refer to this as my cold weather volatilization project. It's a semi-arid region, and most of our wheat is grown in a 300 to 380 millimeter range, but the studies I'm going to be talking about today are in the drier end of that range. Also, we want to look at mitigation, and the issue I'll talk about today will be the use of NBPT, or Agrotain. It's a urease inhibitor. A little bit about our methodology. I'll have to run through it fairly quickly. We're using integrated horizontal flux method. It's a micrometeorological approach. It involves masts and shuttles. The shuttle system is the design that was first introduced by Looning and his associates back in the mid-80s. All my studies that I'm going to be talking about are done on farm. They're actually done on farmers' fields, on no-till winter wheat fields. A little bit about this system. You work with circular plots. Our plots are 20 meters in radius. Our urea is applied at 100 kilograms N per hectare, the same in the Agrotain treatment, and the Agrotain is coated on the urea at a rate of 4 quarts per ton. We have 5 shuttles in each one of our masts. Those masts are placed about 200 meters apart in the middle of those winter wheat field. And the top mass there, that's about 2.75 meters above the soil surface, and you have this gradient spacing going up the mast. A little bit about those shuttles, for those of you who are not familiar with them, you have ammonia that is floating around in the wind, and it goes in this airstream and comes in the shuttle. The air comes out the rear end, but the ammonia is trapped in the shuttle. And those shuttles, they rotate and pivot on into the wind with those that pivot and those fins to line themselves. The ammonia is trapped on this spiral inside that shuttle. That stainless steel spiral is coated with oxalic acid. We do that in the lab. And that's actually the ammonia that's absorbed on that. The ammonia is actually trapped on that oxalic acid. As far as our gas sampling campaigns, these are 8-week campaigns. And we achieve continuous measurements by doing what I call my shuttle swap. There's a weekly shuttle swap. These field sites are 300 plus miles from the university. So it's quite a drive up there. We go up there with our recharge shuttles. We basically take down the old, put up the recharge shuttles, and bring the recharge shuttles back to the lab. And again, it's done on weekly intervals. In fact, the lab, we have this shuttle elution system, a couple of end caps here. Forms this tight seal. We add 200 mls of water. We shake, stir, roll the whole contraption across the countertop to wash away that ammonium that's on that trapped on that oxalic acid. Pour off an aliquot and run on our Timberline ammonia analyzer. And then as far as the ammonia loss calculations, they're done via this mass balance approach, which has been described in the literature. I don't have time to talk about it today. DeMead wrote an article on it back in 1983. There's been a number of articles on this approach. Okay, what I want to visit with you next is, see what I'm doing for time here, is my some of the results of my field sites. Two field sites I'll be talking about. I call it my Peterson Farm site. That's located in northern Montana. It's about 11 miles from the Canadian border. It's on a Telstad-Joplin loam, pH of 5.5. I've conducted two campaigns so far to that at that field site. I'll talk about one of the campaigns here. It's on a no-till winter wheat field. We're on a wheat fallow system in this part of Montana. Okay, this is gives. I showed this picture here to kind of describe the conditions that we did during this campaign. This fertilizer was applied March 25th this past spring. There's actually a light little snow flurries in the air. The air temperature was minus 7.8. I'm using this backpack sprayer to top dress the urea on the soil surface. Soil surface is frozen. It's about minus one degree Celsius. Okay, it doesn't stay that way forever, but what I want to show you here is just some of the losses we observed over that eight-week gas sampling campaign, and I've expressed my units here in terms of the fraction or percentage applied nitrogen. Remember, it's 100 kilograms N per hectare that is lost over that eight-week campaign. So that first week, we lost 12% of the nitrogen, 12 kilograms per hectare. You'll notice those first 2 weeks, we got good control from the NBPT. It's easier for me to say agritain. But anyways, I want to talk a little bit about what happened during that first week. And so we had weather stations at this field site, recording soil temperature and a number of other parameters. And I just show you a plot of the soil temperatures that first week. And you'll notice that temperatures to the surface, just below the surface, got up to maybe 8 degrees following this diurnal cycle. Most of the time, they were below zero or just below zero. The average for the week is about minus 0.7 degrees Celsius. Air temperatures averaged about 0.8 degrees Celsius. So 0.7 minus below zero and just above zero over that week. And again, there was no rain over those first two weeks. I want to emphasize that. So that urea that was at the surface, it was basically stayed at that soil surface. Similar situation again happened the second week. Again, there was no rain. We had about 12.5% loss. Again, some protection from the agritain. Let's talk about what happened those last 6 weeks. We finally got some rain, but it was mostly just scattered rain, maybe rainstorm events of no more than a tenth of an inch about 8 millimeters, no more than that at any one event. Actually, it was even less than that over that six-week period. And over those conditions, the losses from the urea and agritain treatment were similar. These are our total losses over that eight-week campaign, 36 and about 18%. Okay, I just briefly want to mention some of the data we looked at. We were measuring how fast the urea hydrolyzes under these situations. I don't want to get too much into details, but one thing we observed, at least at this field site, it took a long time for that urea to completely disappear from the soil. If you look at the figure here, it takes almost 3 to 4 weeks before we can no longer detect urea in the soil. So the hydrolysis reaction in these soils is occurring very slowly, because evidence, again, that we had cold soil conditions. I want to talk a little bit about our second farm site here. It's west of Havre. It's on a Phillips E-loam silt loam, pH of 6. I've conducted three campaigns there today. I'll talk about two of those campaigns. Again, it's a no-till winter wheat field or wheat fallow situation. This campaign was started about a day after the previous campaign on March 26 under light snow. There was a light dusting of snow on the soil surface from the night evening before. Temperatures minus 6 degrees Celsius. The urea prills are beginning to dissolve. This is about an hour after we added the urea prills. And again, that first 2 weeks, we got no precipitation. And you'll notice our losses that first week, they're up to 22.5% of the fertilizer application. The air temperatures over that period average about 0.6 degrees Celsius and soil temperatures about 1 degree. So just evidence then, we can see volatilization when our mean soil temperatures are pretty cold, around that 0 degree mark. Again, notice we got good protection from agritain the first 2 weeks, but again, those final 8 weeks, similar loss situation from the two materials. Actually, maybe even a little higher here from the agritain. Let's talk about that same site, but a campaign we conducted last fall. It's actually in the same field site where I conducted that previous campaign. And this is kind of a second set of scenarios that we've been seeing at our field sites where we apply fertilizer to dry soil. In this case, the temperature is considerably warmer, 7 degrees Celsius. We had no rain at this field site for 24 days, and the fertilizer pills just stayed at the soil surface. Then about 24 days or 25 days into this study, we got a big rainstorm event. And of course, there were low emissions following that campaign. So kind of summarizing what we've been seeing from all these campaigns, and I've conducted 5 campaigns to date, our average losses for the urea have been about 24%, about a 60% reduction with agritain. And we've had what I call like two different sets of situations, what I call the low emission events or low emission campaigns. And this is where, we're applying fertilizer to dry soil and then we wait for a rainstorm event to come along. And frequently in this part of the country, since it's a semi-arid region, the rainstorm events are just very, very light showers. And that's what we've had, particularly at this campaign, just light rainfall events, 0.2 inches of rain. You get low emission events. Where we get our highest emission events is where we're applying the fertilizer urea to damp ground. And the ground could be frozen, but it may warm up during the day, and those conditions seem to promote the highest losses. So some of my take-home messages then. In this study, we've seen significant losses of ammonia from surface-applied urea, even though the soil temperatures have been cold. In general, I can say that the soil moisture conditions that result in the dissolution of those urea granules at the soil surface without any accompanying rain promote the highest losses, and even though the soil temperatures are cold. And one thing I should note is that it's probably more common to find these conditions in the northern Great Plains during the late fall or early spring. So because during the middle of the summer or late in the spring, things dry out quite quickly. The only time we get these prolonged damp conditions really is in the late fall or early, right before solid freeze up or early spring when we get thaw out. And then the final point is that agritain is providing 2 weeks of protection, about a 60% reduction over that 8-week campaign. So thank you very much.
Great. We've got time for a question or two.
Turn the lights on.
Maybe so.
No questions? We got one question in the back.
So soil temperature that cold, I couldn't see from back here. I'm sorry, I should have sat closer up. You can actually see the prill out there after a week of time?
When we apply to dry soil, sometimes we'll have the prills visible to soil surface for two weeks, visible.
Do you still measure some ammonia volatilization?
Absolutely none. No volatilization until that prill dissolves.
Okay,
and again, what I was trying to emphasize is it's not like the eastern United States or things are dry up there. They stay dry, and it's the only time when we get these kind of damp conditions are, say, late in the fall, November, maybe early spring after some thaw out occurs.
Yeah, I was surprised because your ammonia volatilization is greater than what we see even in Arkansas. I can measure max maybe 35%.
Yeah.
And usually everything takes place in about 10 days where you're much...
Yeah, it's prolonged.
Right.
I've been very surprised at what we've been seeing. And
well,
what I've...
Think people will be real happy with your work.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I still want to do... Yeah. Well, I'm not here to promote a product, but my biggest interest in this, we had this question being asked in Montana for years. We have growers always applying fertilizer, in this mid-fall to early spring period, and we've never really answered the question, are we losing losses? No one's ever measured it. And so that's one of the impetus for setting up the study.
Right. Yeah.
I've got to do a midwinter application. I will do that.
Yeah. These times,
Okay.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.